With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I think that's a part of leadership, is to have some of the guys that have gone before that have been disappointed to share it with everybody involved. For me, it's a reminder. I, too, have been here 23 years. And it is a reminder. I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so, having said that, I want me some glory hole.
It's Clint's former boss, Jerry Jones. We're about to go back in time to the time when Clint Sterner arrived in the NFL. We're going to, I call it Tales with Baytown Twang, with the former NFL quarterback, former Razorbacks quarterback, and current quarterback coach and host here at Sports Radio 610, the man of many hats. But before we do that, we are one day away from the Texans franchise tagging or not Jadeveon Clowney, or being able to do so. We'll go to the line, 713-572-4610. Antonio, go ahead.
Yes, I think the Texans should keep Jadeveon Clowney because he's a good player with no police issues, no outside the doors issues. He's just like that co-worker who has like a hygiene problem that nobody wants to be around. He's good, sociable, he's a genius at what he do. So you don't want to let that go because he has that one issue of, not bathing or whatever the problem might be. Or like in his case, he doesn't like have a bad work ethic, or he jumps off sides,
Well, who is that in the building? Who is that in the 610 building that comes
has
in
bad
the studio
hygiene?
And's got a little... Got a little funk to him.
I think you could guess, but I'm not gonna throw him out there like that.
What do you mean I can guess, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could guess if you try.
Can you
hard
imagine?
You, wait, what was that? What was that again? What'd you just do, Figgy?
Can you imagine?
Oh,
I'm saying is that that's actually a great analogy. Every company has one. We can relate because we're in a radio business, and you're locked in a room for 3 or 4 hours with 2 or 3 or 4, sometimes more guys.
I think Clowney's got good hygiene.
So, I mean, he's probably got great hygiene, but you avoided my question. Who is the guy
in the
building?
Did you not hear what Figgy just played?
No, I didn't hear it.
You didn't hear it?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
His arms are like an inch and a half shorter than you want.
His arms are an inch and a half shorter.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, there you go. That's Figgy's. That's Figgy's vote. That's not my vote. That's Figgy's vote.
I ain't say anything.
Tales with Baytown Twang right now with Clint Sterner. There's a lot of unique routes to the NFL. There's a lot of unique paths. But the man from Baytown to Arkansas to the Dallas Cowboys might have one of the most unique paths of all time. And I'm just going to pull back the curtain a little bit, Clint, because I was having a couple beers with you, a couple pops, after a meeting here, and I straight up told you, I said, I always thought that the only reason that Clint Sterner got to the NFL was because Jerry Jones, the former Arkansas Razorback, had a crush on Clint Sterner. And I might be wrong, but I might not be far off. Tell us how Clint Sterner got to the NFL.
Well, I'd like to point out that I had as good, if not a better, year in 98 than Joey Harrington, who was up for the Heisman Trophy winner.
I remember
and
that.
And I played in a much more difficult conference. So it wasn't
I think
solely...
you beat my squad. I was a little bitter, too. you might have beat my squad pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I did beat up on Texas in Jerry City in Dallas. But
I was there.
No big deal.
I was there.
But, yeah, no, I mean, the relationship had a lot to do with it. I'm actually packing the bags, heading to the I didn't get an invite to the combine.
This was after your senior year at Arkansas?
After my senior year at Arkansas. Worked it out for a pro day with all the guys. Had a great pro day. Had a little bit of interaction with probably 3 or 4 different scouts. Thought there was a chance that I could be a 7th rounder, for sure, free agent. And the draft comes along, and nothing. No, obviously didn't get drafted. And afterwards, it's a pretty hot hour and a half, 2 hours, sometimes even more, a day or 2 days of free agent fire is what they call it. If you're a hot free agent, you get 3 or 4 or 5, sometimes more teams fighting over you, then that can actually be better than being a 6th or 7th round draft pick. So I'm thinking, okay, it's not all bad. I may still get a shot. want nothing. So about 2 weeks later, I'm packing my bags, got my bags packed up. I'm going to head to drive to Dallas to work out for a couple of Canadian League football teams, which, hey, I was fine with. I thought that'd be great to go get paid to play ball. I'm in on that deal.
Oh, yeah.
And about a week before I packed those bags, I was on a golf course, and I saw Frank Broyles, who's like the godfather,
he's
right?
The man.
Frank Broyles. It's kind of like Daryl Royal at y'all's place at Texas, right?
Yeah.
I mean, your everyday guy. He didn't interact with players much. I had very, very little interaction with him to that point. It was when I was getting investigated by the NCAA. It was the only time that I'd really interacted with
Frank
Broyles.
What'd you get investigated for?
The year I fumbled against Tennessee, we still covered.
They thought you
point-shaved? But I guess they thought I was trying to point-shave that game or something. I don't know. But I got investigated for it. It was an interesting deal, but that's for another time. That was the only time that I had really interacted at length with Frank Broyles. Well, I'm walking across the from the pro shop to the first tee box at a golf course there, and Frank Broyles is actually putting on the putting green, and he yells my name, and I'm thinking, my first thought is, oh, hell, what'd I do? Like, well, I'm trying to I'm thinking back in my time, like, what did I do in the building? Because he was in admin at the time, obviously being AD at Arkansas at the time. So I'm thinking, man, what did I say or do in front of somebody? And it wasn't nothing. He asked me where I was going. I said, I'm going to – I haven't got a call. I'm going to work out for a couple of Canadian League teams. And he said, well, stay by your phone. I said, all right, sounds good.
Is this flip phone days?
So, no, this ain't flip phones. This is on the wall. Hang on the wall. You can't relate. Hang on the wall, pull off, dial.
No, I know about it.
You know about that?
I know about
when
it.
You were about five? That's where you first learned how to communicate on a phone?
Nah, it was probably up till about seventh, eighth grade, maybe.
Seventh, eighth grade, I got you. Well, anyway, so fast forward, I never heard anything, and I'm packed up, ready to go to Canada, ready to go to Dallas to work out for the Canadian League teams, and I walked by my room. I had my own dedicated line because I thought I was going to get drafted or thought I was going to have an opportunity, and phone rang. So I picked the phone up, and it was Jerry Jones, not his assistant, not
– Straight up Jerry.
Straight up Jerry. And I'm like, serious, how you doing, Mr. Jones? Blah, blah, blah. I'm going – He said, "How quick
had you not dealt with him at Arkansas?"
No, I had at a Hall of Fame banquet in Little Rock, Arkansas. Some players went down, and we were ushers for it early in my years at Arkansas.
Okay,
and it was actually when he was going in.
Okay,
so I had some time to actually
everybody knows who Jerry Jones is.
It was really, really cool though, man. Because I'll go back to that time because at that point in time, it stuck out in my head as a quarterback. Jerry told me at that point in time, he said, "Troy Aikman did not win Super Bowls for the Dallas Cowboys because of all the great plays he made. He won Super Bowls with the Dallas Cowboys because of the few number of bad plays that he made." Mm-hmm. And that always stuck in my head as a quarterback was, hey, limit the bad plays. Don't
Jerry
worry about the great plays.
Speech,
they'll
man.
Come. Yeah, he's good. He's killer. So, anyway, he calls. He's like, how quick can you be to Dallas? I said, man, 5 hours. I said, 4.5 hours. My car is literally packed.
So you're already ready.
I'm ready. I'm loaded, man. I had a vet at the time. That might be one reason I got investigated, too. But I had a vet at the time.
Oh, Where'd that come from?
My bags were packed.
No comment?
One of my buddies was with me. We were rolling to Dallas. We were going to work out, have a big weekend in Dallas. And he said, no, I ain't talking about driving. He said, how quick can you be to the airport? I said, man, about 30 minutes. I'm in Arkansas. You can't get to the – I'm in downtown, but I can't get to the airport that quick.
So he got you a ticket?
He got me a ticket. 30 minutes.
Like a normal ticket?
No, that was a normal ticket. Yeah, that wasn't a private. That wasn't a private. The private was when I was there.
Okay.
We had some good access.
All right, so he gets you a plane ticket.
So he gets me a plane ticket. I go down there. I throw maybe max 15 balls.
15 balls?
It took me longer to get dressed and put my stuff on, and I threw 15 balls. And Todd Williams, who is his right-hand guy, who happened to be a Tennessee guy, imagine that after I fumbled against him. I had to deal with a Tennessee guy in Dallas. And he is Jerry's right-hand man. If you ever see the guy that's got the earpiece in, either on the sidelines that Jerry's communicating with, that's how Jerry knows what the hell's going on the sideline. Todd Williams has the earpiece in his ear, and he's either down there or he's communicating with somebody. But it's Todd said, hey, man, let's go in here and get this contract worked out. It took me longer to get dressed than it did the number of
– I mean, were you just making them hum, or was it just done?
I think they knew that – they knew what I was. I mean, I think they knew I was mediocre. You know, I was a decent – could throw it decent, and they just wanted to lay their eyes on it. And I threw they did have me throw the more difficult throws. I mean, I warmed up, and usually when I go out to throw, I warm up. I'm throwing hitches. I'm throwing slants. I'm throwing, you know, in-breaking routes that are a little bit less difficult. Nah, they put me on it, man. I'm throwing a speed cutout route, the bang eight, which are the two most technically difficult routes to throw as far as controlling your weight, transferring your weight, getting your back foot in the ground and getting it out on time. And then we're throwing wide side comebacks. We're throwing cover two corners. We're throwing seams. And I threw about three of each. And he said, all right, let's get in here and sign this contract. And I said, let's do it, baby. And then I go in there and I sign the contract and I go to practice. And it's me, Troy Aikman, Paul Justin was the guy's name at the time.
And you were just trying to get in the CFL.
Coach, I was just trying to get in the CFL 24 hours earlier. And now
with your car packed and everything.
That's it. And now I'm sitting in a locker next to, literally my locker was between Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith.
Lord.
And so it was interesting, man. And then Paul Justin ends up getting himself cut because he can't handle the adversity of dealing with second and third string guys in the preseason. And then lo and behold, 1-4. 1-4 sitting there waiting for that old third string spot. And, you know, we had a good run, man. Had a good 3-year run. Very good 3-year run, actually.
So what do you know about PJs? Because I saw you the other day on Twitter. You were talking about private jets. Anyone who's ever flown in a private jet calls it a PJ. And I'm assuming you're cool enough to have flown in one because you were talking about the PJ.
Yeah, we did it a few times. I've done it a few times, man. I got Jerry, actually. We took Jerry's private jet one time with Ryan Leaf. Me and my girl at the time, Ryan and his wife at the time, we went out to Yellowstone.
Did y'all ask him or did he just offer it?
That Ryan worked that deal out. I just said, I'm along for the ride, baby. But so we go to San Diego first. That's where Ryan lived out there. We hung out in San Diego for a little while. And then Jerry, his jet just hung out for the day.
Did y'all get after it? Because this was before Ryan obviously has turned his life around. Did y'all get after it pretty hard out there in Yellowstone?
Yeah, but nothing. I'm not saying
partying hard, like traditional partying.
Yeah, but it wasn't. I mean, I don't know what your definition of partying hard is. Mine is staying within the limits. You know.
Yeah. Mine is drinking a lot. You know, maybe sleeping a little bit and then drinking some more.
No, I mean we had a good time, man. San Diego was great. It's where he played before Dallas, so he had a home there, and so we had a great time there. And went up to Yellowstone for the weekend. But yeah, we private jetted that thing around. Jerry actually, talk about Jerry being an player's owner. He actually, my grandmother passed away. And so we were on a trip back from playing somewhere, and I went to the front of the plane and told the quarterback coach, who God bless his soul, Wade Wilson, passed away
a couple weeks ago. Good guy.
I told Wade, I said, man, my grandmother passed away. The funeral's in a couple of days. You know, I'm going to need to go back. And he said, that's fine. Don't worry about, you know, missing. I'll take care of you. I'll communicate with everybody. And I said, okay. Well, then before we hit the ground, Jerry comes back to my seat and says, hey, what time do you need to leave in the morning? I said, just 8 o'clock. He said, well, be at Love Field over there at my hangar. I'll have the jet take you. So the jet took me down and brought me back for the funeral. He's money, man. We did a private jet a few times. And one time I told you, you can relate to Quentin Jammer.
Jam.
He calls me up and he's like, Clint, I need a quarterback. He said, we're going to fly to Austin. And I had a really good, I had a different relationship with Jerry and Steven Jones, both of them. I had a pretty cool relationship with them where we'd hang out quite a bit and a little different than most players because of the Arkansas ties. But he says, hey, I need you to fly to Austin with us. And I'm thinking, yeah, I mean, first, I don't know if we're going down to the party.
Is this when they were thinking about drafting Jammer and they ended up, Jammer ended up going off the board and then they drafted Roy Williams?
Yep. But I don't know if we're going to Austin to party or are we going down there. What are we going down there for? We get on a private jet again. We go down there and I practice throwing interceptions for about an hour to Quentin Jammer, get on a plane and go back, and they didn't even end up drafting him. I couldn't even throw interceptions good enough. Lock.
That's all right, man. Well, I mean, San Diego liked him and it happens. Coming up next, Houston is listed as the worst city for NFL fans. We're going to get into that. Plus, J.J. Watt, historic moment yesterday. You're in the loop with Landry and Clint Sterner in for John Lopez on President's Day on Sports Radio 610.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.